Well, we truly are living in unprecedented times, aren't we? Homeschool has become the new reality for families with kids. Businesses are shutting down and in many cases, laying off employees or revamping job descriptions. Our social lives have been completely hindered by social distancing. Our hobbies are being frustrated and our friendships are being reduced to Zoom calls and text messages. And normal has completely changed. And on top of that, this new normal is being lived out in the, with the backdrop of sickness and death and pain and loss and fear and uncertainty and insecurity of all kinds. We are now more than ever collectively asking the question, what now? I mean, we're all feeling that globally, and then we're all each feeling it specifically in our own way. What now? How are we to respond? What are we to think? And where, if anywhere, are we to find God in the middle of it all? And that's what we're looking at in this series. And last Sunday, we started with perhaps our biggest question, perhaps our biggest point of contention or confusion or frustration or despair through this pandemic. And that is simply this: what are we to do with the trials and troubles and tragedies that we are either experiencing or witnessing all around us? Because we're all in a trial, no matter who you are. This is frustrating and inconvenient and difficult to manage. But for many of us, it's more than a trial. Trouble has come to your family or to your finances or to your world. And then for some of us, we're experiencing tragedy. And what now? And last Sunday, we looked at the story of Lazarus, the amazing account in the Gospel of John where the dear friend of Jesus gets sick and dies. I mean, no story could be more relevant to our current circumstances than this story. And we got to watch and listen as Jesus, the Son of God in the flesh, grappled with and responded to his dear friend getting sick. And we saw three things that Jesus wanted us to see, three things that he was in fact late on purpose so that we could see, and that there was something, somewhere we needed to go, something we needed to do, and something we could and needed to hold on to. And those three things were and continue to be just so vital for us, and I think such a game changer potentially for our understanding of what we're going through, for how we're experiencing what we're going through, and our relationship with God as we go through it. And so if you haven't watched it, I hope you'll go back and catch part one. And today I would like to move into part two of what now. And it might seem a little bit like this Sunday is somewhat of a gear change, because what I would like to do is to start looking not backwards at what has happened or even currently at what is happening. I would like to start looking forward to the day when this is going to be over, when shelter in place and quarantine and all of this is going to end and we're going to find a return of somewhat normalcy. We've addressed all of the negative things that we're experiencing last week, and this Sunday, if I could, I would like to spend some moments focusing on an immensely positive thing that could, and I would argue should, result from this current season of social shutdown and sheltering in place. Something that I believe God wants us to bring out of this time. Something that I believe he wants to bring out of us and do for us as a result of this season of social distancing and sheltering in place. And I want to talk about it because, guys, I believe that we have a huge opportunity. In fact, I believe that we have an unprecedented opportunity, one that we'll probably never have again in our lives in the way that we have it now. I genuinely believe that for many of us, this season could, or at least should be, or it could be, a season that we remember for years to come, not simply because of the trials, troubles, and tragedies that were brought our way, but because of the immense good that came out of it, that God brought out of it, surely in several ways, but I think especially in this one specific way. And that's this: I believe we have an unprecedented opportunity to be careful how we live. That's exactly what the Apostle Paul urged the church in a city called Ephesus to do in his letter that we now know as Ephesians in the Bible. And in the letter that he writes to the Ephesians, what he's doing is he's telling them all about what Jesus has done for them, the power or light, as he says, that Jesus has given them, has placed inside of them. And he's telling them about the kind of people that God is inviting them to become. And it's in this context and in the process of talking about all this that he gives them this imperative. He gives them this assignment, if you will. And I think that this imperative, and I believe that this assignment might just be on the top of God's list for you and for me. Like, I believe that if you were to ask God, hey, God, is there anything you want me to do while I'm here in my house for all of these weeks? Or, hey, God, do you have an answer to the question, what now, that you know, for me, that you'd like to share with me? I would be willing to bet that near the top of his list would be this verse that I'm going to read to you today, because I believe that we have an unprecedented opportunity to let this verse shape our lives in a way that we will probably never have again. In fact, I would bet that many of us, maybe me included, in our lives before quarantine and before the virus would have heard this assignment or this encouragement and challenge and said, no way, that's impossible. Life is too busy. Life is too crazy. I'm just trying to make it from one thing to the next. But it is possible now. And it is possible in a way that it won't be for long and it may never be again. And here's what he says. It's Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15. It begins this way. He just simply says, be very careful then how you live. Be very careful then how you live. It's not a principle as much. It's not a truth as much. It's more an invitation. It's more an assignment. It's more an exhortation, a command. Be very careful then how you live. And I want to take a moment before I go on to sort of flesh out what exactly that assignment is and what he means, because there's two phrases there that are packed full of meaning. The first one is be very careful. He says be very careful. Literally, that phrase be very careful means to examine, to shine light on, to take a close look at something. So Paul is telling these people, and I think God is potentially telling you and me today, hey, I want you to take a moment. I want you to take maybe a day. I want you to take perhaps a week and closely examine, like give a good, hard, evaluating, scrutinizing look at how you live. And that's the second phrase, by the way. That phrase, how you live, could be translated literally how you walk. Like how you walk through life. And this idea, it refers specifically to how you arrange your life, like how you order your life, how you use and apportion your time. In other words, he's talking about your rhythm. He's talking about your schedule. He's talking about the balance sheet of a given day or a given week or a given month in your life. And so, you know, when you get those pieces in place, what he's essentially asking or urging or inviting or assigning to us to do is like, hey, I would want to invite you to closely examine how you are spending the most valuable asset that you have in the world, the time of your life. He's inviting you to audit the balance sheet of your life. That's what this is about. Why? Well, because it matters. Right? I mean, we all understand this. This might be kind of obvious, but he points out the obvious anyway. He says, be very careful then how you live. Not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity. See that phrase there, making the most of every opportunity? More literally, that phrase could be translated redeeming your time. There's the why right there. You want to redeem your time. And in other words, redeeming and realizing the full potential of your time, redeeming and realizing the full value of your time, of the minutes and the hours and the days and the weeks of your life. Like if your life were a sponge, he's saying, squeeze every last drop out of it. If your life were a gas tank, he'd be saying, get every single last mile out of it. Redeem your time. Now, the opposite of redeeming your time is obviously wasting your time. And in any given area of your life right now, you are somewhere on that spectrum between wasting your time and redeeming your time. And those two options lead to very different lives, right? Like we understand this. This is obvious to this. Like you know that there is a direct relationship between the content of your calendar and the quality of your life. Like you get that there's a direct relationship between the content of your calendar and the quality of your life. Like you already know that. You know that the way that you, to quote the verse, the way that you walk and the way that you order your life and the way that you apportion your time, you know that it will determine in large part who you are, the kind of life that you lead, the quality of your family relationships and what that experience is like, the results that you get in life, the skills that you develop in life, the quality of your relationships, the content of your character, the status of your health, the depth of your relationship with God, the viability of your dreams, the nature of the legacy you leave behind. I mean, clearly there are pieces of all that that you can't control, but when it comes to the realm of what you can control, it all comes back to how you walk. It all comes back to how you live and where what you do with your time, what a given day, week, or month actually looks like. It's that simple. And that's why you want to redeem it. That's why you want to make the most of it. Like, nobody wants to squeeze out half a sponge of life, you know? No, nobody wants to leave half a gas tank of potential on the table. And so, yeah, it's obvious, but he reminds us of it anyway. He says, you want to and you hope to. In fact, you dream of making the most out of your time, of making the most out of your life. So therefore, be very careful then how you live. And then he gives us this grid, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity. Have you ever knowingly lived in a way that was unwise? You ever done that? Like, have you ever had a mismatch between the content of your calendar and the quality of life that you desired or knew that God desired for you? Like when you wanted fitness, but you kept scheduling junk food, you know? Like when you wanted work goals, but you kept scheduling Tiger King, you know? Or when you wanted to be great at something or skilled at something, but you never scheduled actually practicing it or developing it. Or like when you wanted to be close to your spouse, but you never actually decided to listen or to encourage or to help around the house. Or when you wanted to have a great relationship with your kids, but you kept coming home late day after day after day after day. Or like when you wanted to be close to God, but then you didn't pay him much attention outside of Sunday. Have you ever done anything like that? Of course you have, because so have I. Why do we do that? Isn't that crazy? Every single one of us has multiple stories of that right there, where the content of our calendar doesn't match the quality of the life that we want or that we know that God wants for us. And, you know, you sit there wondering, why do we do that? And he's going to address that in a second. But for now, Paul's point is this, that, yeah, sure, we all do that. But you don't have to. You don't have to. He's saying, take a moment, pay attention, and be careful how you live. Take a moment, pay attention, and make sure that the how you're walking is wise, that you are walking wisely. Make sure that the way you're building your life is wired for wisdom and not foolishness. Because a wisely built life is one that lines up the content of its calendar with the quality of life that you want. A wisely built life is one that lines those two up, that lines your inputs up with your desired outputs. A foolish one is one that has a mismatch and probably doesn't even know it. And so he says, hey, take a moment to closely examine your life and make sure that it's ordered in a way that is wise so that you will spend the next year and the next decade redeeming your time and not wasting your time. That's his challenge. That's his assignment. And here's why we need that reminder. Here's why we need that encouragement. Not because you didn't know that. Not because you're so bad at it. Not because you're this poor steward of your, you know, whole life. Not because you aren't killing it in some areas and really just doing such a great job managing your time in some areas. The reason that we need this reminder, the reason we needed this encouragement, is because there is a powerful force at work against us. And that's exactly what he says next. He says, be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. The days are evil, he says. And that sounds a little funny, but you might be thinking, man, that's the thing that's made most sense that I've heard in a long time. These days are evil. Are you kidding me? 2020 is totally evil. This virus is just the latest evil in a whole string of evil things that have happened in 2020. And I have a feeling we're not even done. You know, like, what's the month of May going to be? Natural disaster month? And then we're going to have June's going to be zombie month. And then, you know, July, the movie Independence Day, it's going to happen literally. Like, that's probably what's coming in 2020. The days are for sure evil. But that is not the concept that he's talking about here. When he says that the days are evil, what he's talking about is this. He's talking about the fact that the natural pull of life will always pull you away from living wisely. There's a natural pull in life, and that natural current, that natural pull is always going to pull you away from living wisely, ordering your life wisely so that you redeem your time. Like, for example, have you ever shot the hooch? You know what that means? Shooting the hooch means grabbing an inner tube and floating down the Chattahoochee River with your friends, right? And the Chattahoochee River isn't that fast, you know, but there is a current, right, that takes you down the river. And so in most places in the river, you can stand, but if you just pick your feet up and float on your little tube, the current will just carry you, right? The only problem is that every once in a while, the current will take you right into a log or a rock or a branch, like stabs you in the face or something like that. So, I mean, yeah, you can kind of paddle your way, but sometimes to fight the current, what you really got to do is just put your feet down, right? You got to, like, put your feet down, and you will stop going with the current. But if you don't do that, you just go with the current, inevitably it's going to take you somewhere that you don't want to go. Paul's saying, that's true of life. That's true of your life. There is a current to life that doesn't have your best interest in mind. Or to take it a step further theologically, there is an enemy at work in the current of life who doesn't have your best interest in mind. Or maybe to take it an even step further theologically, there is an enemy at work in the current of life who doesn't have your best interest in mind, and he knows that there's something in you that wants to go along with it. He knows that there's something in you that's prone to listen. He knows that there's a part of you that is vulnerable to the temptation. There's a current to life. And unless you intervene, unless you are intentional, the current of life is always going to pull you towards waste. It's always going to pull you towards mismanagement. It's always going to pull you towards settling. It's always going to pull you towards excuses, towards procrastination, towards self-deception, towards self-sabotage. It's always going to pull you towards mismanaging your time and spending it in ways that don't match your desires for your life or God's desires for your life. And I just wonder, have you noticed that? Have you ever felt the pull with your time? I know I have. If you're anything like me, you have an area of your life or areas of your life where you have fallen victim to the current. And all Paul is doing is just saying, hey, put your feet down. Like you're floating along. Well, just put your feet down. Put your feet down for a moment and pay close attention. Put your feet down for just a moment long enough to be careful and make the adjustments you need to make. Course correct where you need to course correct so that you can live wisely. And so that you can go to the next year of your life and the next decade of your life making the most of every opportunity. Paul is saying, put your feet down. Put your feet down. And what I'm trying to suggest to you today is simply that the unprecedented opportunity that's come your way and come my way is the fact that coronavirus has already done that for us. The virus and its impending shelter in place has put our feet down. Like the moment that you probably promised yourself that you would find one day, or you insisted what would happen just as soon as the season passed or the busyness faded or the craziness settled down or the kids' sports ended or the promotion at work came along, that moment has been forced upon you. Our feet have been forced down against the current of life. And we didn't ask for it. We didn't want it, we didn't plan for it, but we got it. We have an unprecedented opportunity, perhaps to hit reset or perhaps to start from scratch and be careful how we live. You didn't ask for it, but you got it. So let's not waste it. I'd like to leave you with this image. do you have your bag nearby? Like your briefcase or your purse or your backpack or your, you know, gym bag or your fanny pack or whatever you use. I'm talking about the bag that is your life. Is that nearby? If it's nearby, why don't you grab it for a second? Here's mine. This is my bag. And I wanted to talk about your bag because isn't it true that sometimes your bag can be a hot mess? Anybody's bag a little bit of a hot mess right now? My bag kind of is. I mean, it's amazing to me how much stuff your bag can accumulate over time. Does anybody feel me on that? Like, I'm talking about like the junk and the things you don't even need, the things that you don't even remember what they are or how they got in there, that just like accumulates. It's like, yeah, there are important things in there, but right next to the important things and sometimes in the way of the vital things are a whole bunch of unimportant things, outdated things, forgotten things, and just like the junk of life. It's amazing to me, like, it's amazing to me how that happens. And I don't know about you, but if you're anything like me, you know, maybe up until shelter in place happened, your bag probably matched your life a little bit. Like maybe it was full. I bet it was full. In fact, maybe it was too full. But nevertheless, it was definitely full of, you know, things that are important and things that were not important. It was full of things that were mission critical and things that were distractions, things that were great uses of your time and things that were like total wastes of your time. Your life was full of things that served your priorities and God's priorities for you, and it was packed full of some things that just undermined it. And it's amazing to me just how it just happens. Like without me even thinking about it, without me even trying, I didn't decide to do this, without me even trying, my bag just collected and accumulated all this stuff. Why? Because the days are evil. This is where the current of life will always pull you and always take you. And I just got a question for you about your bag, and more importantly, really about your life. Have you ever done this? Have you ever taken a moment and been like, you know what? I'm just going to empty this thing. Have you ever done this? Like, look at all this stuff. I don't even know what's in here. You ever done this with your bag? I think I got a few more things. There's a hat in there. You ever done that? You ever just gotten to the point where you're like, I'm dumping the whole thing out and started completely over? Have you ever dumped out your bag and then just started adding back in the things that you actually needed, the things that you actually wanted, the things that were actually wise to put in your bag? I do this about every couple of months, I feel like. I just, you know, shake the whole thing out, and then I start putting things back in, and it totally transforms my bag. You know, my bag all of a sudden becomes efficient again. It becomes strategic again. Instead of something I kind of dread, like I don't even know what's in there, it becomes my greatest ally. Why? Because I packed it wisely. I built it around my life and my needs. And you guys, I just wanted to show you this, and I wanted you to get your bag, because I think this is the unprecedented opportunity that stands in front of you. Your bag has been emptied by coronavirus. In a matter of days, all non-essential activity was taken away. I mean, we are still working and tending our families and tending our homes, but in an instant, in a matter of days, everything else became optional or even impossible. And that's a gift. The days are evil, but you guys, for a few moments, the current has stopped. Your bag is empty. What now? Well, I'll tell you what now. You and I have an amazing opportunity, like we'll probably never have again, to be careful how we live, to examine, to look closely, to pay attention to how we're spending our time, so that by the grace and the power of God, we can rebuild, reorder, and repack our lives and how we live wisely and walk back into the new normal, poised to make the most of every opportunity. There is a direct relationship between the content of your calendar and the quality of your life. Take advantage of this unprecedented opportunity to be careful then how you live. Not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, redeeming your time. And so in the name of that, I'd like to give you a couple of practical tips and practical ways that you can right now, and even on your couch before you get up, decide to be careful how you live, to re-examine how you live, potentially to reorder and repack your bag and how you are living, how to make some wise adjustments that pay off for months and years to come. I'm going to give you three, and these are three that I'd love for you to maybe discuss with whoever you're watching with right now, your spouse, your friends, your kids, whoever's there. Hopefully not your friends, because we're still quarantining. But and number one is this. Make priorities habits. What if you used this unprecedented season to make priorities habits, or just one of your priorities habits? Not just intentions, not just ideals, make them habits. Like, take one of your old priorities that has maybe till today been a little bit neglected or sidelined or compromised or undermined by the current of life, and actually make it a habit. Make it something that is a fixture of your life. You have a chance to do that now. You're at home. Like, I know you still got kids and work and all those kinds of things going on, but your feet have been put down and planted for you. This is probably the day you've been saying, oh, maybe one day, maybe one day. Well, the day is here. Don't miss this opportunity. Take one of your priorities and make a habit out of it. What an incredible thing. What an incredible thing to walk out of this time with. I wrote down some examples. I mean, these are basic stuff. Like exercise once a day. That could be a habit that you form in this time and you walk out of this time with. Like, do at-home workouts. There's apps you can do that stuff with. Read your Bible and pray every morning. There's one. Go to bed before 12 every night. If you struggle with sleep and you really have been struggling with that in life, well, put the habit in place now. Or wake up before 8. You're like, man, I need to be more productive and get my day started. Well, do it now. Even though you don't have to, put the habit, make your priority a habit now so that you have it when you leave. Walk into the kitchen or the whatever room and spend time with your kids by 5:30. Why not now put the habit in your life that your family is more important than your job? Create margin. Some of you, it's a margin. It's a rest thing. You just go and go and go and go and go. Rest has no place in your life. Why not put it in now? Why not build it into your life? Make your priorities habits. Stop dreaming about it. Stop talking about it. Let's do it. Let's do it. Because you can. I know you may be sitting there going, oh, no, I'm too busy. I still got a lot going on. And I just want to humbly say, if I can, and to myself as well, you're not too busy. Listen, you might be overbooked, but you are never too busy to build your life around what matters most. You might be too busy for some other things that don't matter, but you're never too busy to build your life around the things that matter most. You're not too busy. Or you might be sitting there thinking like, oh, this is too tough. There's no way I can do it. And I just want to tell you, yes, you can. Not because of you and not because I know you, but because I know God. And he has all the strength and he has all the grace that you need to declare, I'm going to turn a priority into a habit in this season. Man, that would be one incredible way to be careful how you live, to make some really wise decisions. I dare you to pick a priority and make it a habit and put it in your bag and carry it with you into the new normal. Number two, leave behind dead weight. Leave behind dead weight, waste, distraction, meaningless stuff. Some of us have entire pockets of our bag, you know, in life, just full of stuff, full of meaningless dead weight. And you know that it's taking up space that something else actually needs. And I just want to challenge you. Maybe that's a thing. That's a decision you can make. Man, I'm just going to get rid of some dead weight. And you already know what it is. It's like games on your phone. It's whatever. I mean, it's just that meaningless stuff. But by the way, you know what is also dead weight sometimes? Sometimes dead weight is something that's actually good. I have a hunch that some of you have something good in your life. And the problem isn't that it's bad. No, it's good. The problem is it's just not great. And that good thing in your life, that you have a good reason that it's there, it's getting in the way of something that's actually great, something that's actually ultimate. And I want to challenge you, get rid of it. Take it away. Stop smuggling it into your life because you have to. Well, because everybody goes to this, everybody does that. No, 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 no. Don't trade the gold of your life, the things that are most important, for trinkets, for stuff that isn't worth your time. Get rid of dead weight. Some things just need to stay gone even after they've become available again. So number two, leave behind dead weight. And then the final one, or final suggestion, is begin the final chapter of a sin in your life. Begin the final chapter of a sin in your life. Or if that sounds like too much religious jargon, that's okay. You could think of it like this. Begin the final chapter of a vice in your life. I'm not saying you just snap your fingers and it's gone and, you know, magic happened. That's not how it works. I'm just saying start the final chapter. Like, why not let the season when you're home and you can focus on it be the season where you begin the end of a sin or a vice in your life? Why not let this be the moment that you get to say, this was the season when this sin or this habit or this thing that I just kept doing, it began to lose its grip on me. I wrote down some examples. Like, what if you were able to say, this was the season when I began to really address my temper with my family, with my wife and kids? Or what if this was the season when you could say, I started to really write the final chapter on my unhealthy relationship with alcohol? Or this was the beginning of the end of my pornography habit? Or this was the season where I actually forgave that long-standing grudge that just had a grip on me? Or this was the season where I started actually deciding that I'm going to listen to my spouse or encourage my spouse or help my spouse? Or this was the season that I finally confessed what I needed to confess, or I finally asked for help for the thing that I was too proud to ask before? I don't know which one of those resonates with you, but I hope that one does, and I hope that you may pick one of those and just decide, I'm going to be more careful how I live. I mean, like, what if we actually all decided in one way, in one area, to just turn the dial in our lives towards wisdom, turn the dial towards being careful how we live and redeeming our time? That's what I want you to do. I just want you to think about one step in one area and give yourself this gift for the rest and the duration of the stay-at-home order or a quarantine. Give yourself this gift, give your spouse this gift, give your kids this gift, give God this gift. Say, hey, God, I'm going to start leaning in and participating for, you know, your will for my life. I'm ready to make this the season where I repack my bag and I'm careful how I live. And I just want you to imagine in that area that you're probably already thinking about, that you probably already know is the area, what if you did this? What if you made a priority habit or got rid of some dead weight or began the final chapter of a sin or a vice in your life? Man, how happy would you be? How happy might one of your loved ones be? How much more productive might you be? How much closer to God might you be? I think we have an unprecedented opportunity to be careful how we live. And so I want to end there. And I want to put the ball in your court for just a minute. I don't want you to get up yet. We're going to end the service, but I mean, please stay on your couch for just a second. And what I'd love to invite you to do is to just discuss this for like 3 to 5 minutes with whoever you're with. And if your kids are there, I think this is totally fine. But I have an exercise for you. We're going to put it up on the screen and make it available on our website or on social media. You can get it. But I'm going to say it right here. It's going to be really simple. I want you to decide what you're going to do in response to this. This is one of those real practical, personal things. I can say it, but you've got to apply it. You've got to contextualize it. So here's what I'd love to challenge you to do. And you can either discuss this out loud to a degree or maybe pull up your phone and take some notes on your answers to these things. I want you to do three things. One, I want you to find your plan. What's one thing in one area that you're going to do in response to today? Write it down. Talk about it. Number two, person. Who's one person you're going to go on record with? And they're probably either sitting next to you or they're already on your phone in a group chat or a text or Marco Polo or whatever it is that you use. Who's one person that you're going to go on record with and be like, hey, dude, hey, girl, here's my thing. Will you want to encourage me in it? Yeah, I want to encourage you in it. And I want you to find your one person. And then the third thing is, and this is an ongoing thing, I want you to tap into your power. I want to give you one prayer to pray every single day for the duration of this time as you're trying to be careful how you live, maybe repackage a pocket of your bag or a whole section of your bag. And it's from Timothy. We covered this in one of our devotionals recently, and this is going to be posted online. But it's, for God has not given us a spirit of timidity, but he's given us a spirit of power, of love, and of self-discipline. And I want you to start praying this every morning because you remember that this isn't going to happen just in your own power. No, it's going to be the power of God through the Holy Spirit inside of you. He hasn't given you a spirit of timidity. He's given you a spirit of power, of love, and of self-discipline. And just pray that. God, give me a spirit, not of timidity. Take that away. Instead, give me a spirit of love, power, and self-discipline. So that's what I want you to do. That's your exercise. What's your plan? Who's your person? And where's your power coming from? So be careful then how you live. Not as unwise, but as wise. Making the most of every opportunity. For the days are evil. For the days are evil. What an opportunity we have. Let's take advantage of it together. I love you. Let me pray for us and we'll be done. God, thank you so much for taking the time to care about the content of our lives, the content of our calendars, because you know the content of our calendars is directly related to the quality of our lives. So God, I pray that we'd have the courage to ask some hard questions, to be careful how we live, to closely examine how we live, so that maybe we could repackage it and reorder it with wisdom, because we want to redeem our time. We want to make the most of the time of our lives. Help us to do that in Jesus' name, that we may experience not just more of our will for our lives, really, so that we can experience more of your will for our lives. We may participate with your plan for our lives. So we pray that you'd help us make priorities, habits. You'd help us get rid of dead weight. And maybe, God, this would be the beginning of the final chapter of some sin in our lives. May we walk out of this season remembering it for years to come, not simply for the trials, troubles, and tragedies that came our way, but because of the amazing thing or things that you brought out of it for our good. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, thanks for joining us today, guys. We love you so much. We're here for you. If there's anything we can do for you, please reach out to me directly. If you have questions about today's sermon or anything, you can email me at questions@eastcobchurch.org. Or if there's any way that we can pray for you as a staff or just me as an individual or as a church family, please email me at prayer@eastcobchurch.org. We'll see you online this week for guided prayer on Monday, for word of encouragement on Wednesday and Friday, and for worship on Wednesday nights. We love you guys. Hope you have an amazing rest of the day. We'll see you online.